Alleluia, 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 alleluia. In all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he has been healed, returned glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
It's very good to be past Halloween. I no longer get asked, "Is that your costume?" I no longer have to answer stranger questions. But I think in a particular way, what often is drawn out in that time of year, in which you appear costumed and then reveal yourself to be a priest, often there is some sort of admission of fault, some admission of fault from the other, some way in which they can see, even this person who, maybe not even a Christian, can see some disorder in their life. I think it's easy enough, friends, to be able to look and examine our lives, as many of us just had in confession a few moments ago, and to be able to come before the Lord in shame or perhaps guilt, or perhaps the fire of love, desiring communion with him, but nonetheless, being able to say, "Lord, I see that this is not ordered rightly. This is not just. This is not the way that it should be." We could see this. And yet we so often lack that clarity of mind in the midst of our daily lives. And in fact, it's this awareness of our fallen nature, it's this awareness of the disorder that is what brings us back to the Lord time and again, because we can see this is not the way, Lord, that we know you have ordained this world, this created order to be. And so the devil is very concerned, brothers and sisters, with shielding our eyes from this truth. That often when we commit sins, certainly grave sins, we are able to both feel the shame and the weight and the guilt of that sin. And yet very often our eyes are blinded from or obscured by the disorder that remains. What I mean by this is that when we sin gravely, if I were to pull you aside in that moment and say, "Is this the way that you want to live?" I wouldn't be shaking you, sorry. Is this the way that you want to live? You say, no, no, this is not the way that I want to live. This makes me unhappy. This is a false idol. This splinters and fractures my life. But we commit these sins, these grave sins especially, and the devil almost whispers in our ear, you've already sinned. You may as well sin again. So vicious is this cycle in which our eyes are blinded from the disorder that continues. I'm going to get a confession on Saturday. It's Tuesday. May as well get my money's worth from this. That's not from the Lord, friends. The devil wants to continue to poison our hearts and to deaden and numb it to his grace and his work. And so the lepers in our gospel today are a profound example of how our disposition should be in the midst of our disorder, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the isolation. Because we have to place ourselves in their midst, these 10 lepers who, living in a society and culture that is predicated upon ritual purity, they find themselves unable to participate in temple worship and unable to participate in common life. They live outside of the village, which is exceedingly less safe. They are not able to be employed, and so they beg for their food. But even the food for which they beg, if anything but the charity of the stranger they confront, is cast at them like dogs. Dirty and isolated, anxious and frayed, we see these 10 lepers, and they stood at a distance, and they raised their voice, saying, have pity on us. Friends, this has to be the prayer to the Master in our sin. Not to condemn these lepers or the reality of their lives, but to see in them a kinship. Because this is the reality of sin. It casts us away from the Lord, from communion with him in worship and communion with him and his brothers and sisters. How quickly, when we sin, do we find ourselves anxious and afraid, agitated and upset? And this downward spiral continues to flow. That even if we can see as if this saving light on a hill, I'll make it to confession in a few days. The devil continues to poison our thoughts and say, you may as well continue. These 10 lepers may well have continued to live destitute, to throw themselves fully into the self-isolation that had been imposed upon them. But instead, they, with great courage and great faith, they stand at a distance and they say, Master, have pity on us. Friends, in our sin, when we sin, we have to still beseech the Lord for his mercy. And not as one who throws himself at the feet of the vengeful king, but as the son or the daughter who returns to the father who waits for each one of us. And curiously, this great act of healing from our Lord involves no physical touch. But like God the Father, God the Son is able to create and bring order just through his word. And before that moment of healing, just as they begged him, the Lord begs from each one of them to make this act of faith. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Which is to say, you've been healed. Go to the priest. You can imagine, perhaps in the hearts of each one of them, the temptation towards incredulity, to look and to see the sores, to feel them in their hands and their side, to see it upon the faces of their brothers. And yet so deep is their faith, they make this act of devotion, and on their way, as they were going, they were cleansed. And we can think that this is well enough. They manifested the act of faith. The Lord received their prayer. The Lord has now healed them. But now we see almost the Lord's surprise. Inquisitively asked the last leper, 10 were cleansed, were they not? And here now, friends, the Lord is showing us the full pattern of healing. That it requires us from the depths of our disorder and chaos and fear and doubt for us to cry out, Lord, have pity on me. Master, save me. Lord, heal me. And when the Lord takes us and draws us into his embrace and heals the wounds in our life and sends us forth renewed to return to worship and to return to one another, the fullness of that healing is predicated upon the practice of gratitude. It's as if we go to the doctor to receive the medication, to receive the surgery, to be healed, and to forego the course of antibiotics that he gives us afterwards. The Lord knows that gratitude is there as almost the bow that punctuates the great gift of the faith and the healing that he wants to give to each one of us. Who knows where the other nine went? We can imagine in their hearts they faithfully went to the priest, but then where did they go and how did they live their lives? So profound was the healing of the one that he was able to glorify God in a loud voice. He returned and he glorified God, and such was the nature of his gratitude to bring glory to him. And so, friends, there are parts of our hearts that need to be healed, and in that place of pain, we nonetheless have to have the courage and the conviction to call out, Lord, have pity on me. Lord, heal me. Lord, save me. But the work of healing that the Lord will do in your life is not for your benefit. It is for his glory. And so always we must return these things back to him, which is why, friends, we come to the altar as often as we are able to continue to lay at his feet the gifts that he has given us. Even in our poverty, to place those things there and to say, Lord, you've healed me. I trust in you. Continue this great work in my heart, not for my glory, Lord, but for yours. And so make that your prayer tonight. As you come before the Lord, really hold out that leprous part of your heart, that disposition, that habit, that undisciplined passion that you need the Lord to bring healing remedy to. And trust that as you go forth tonight, it may not appear to be healed, but simply by an act of faith and trust in him, the Lord will continue to soften and smooth the hardness of your hearts. And then this is the place where we return to continue to bring glory to him. The one leper shows us a sign. He shows us the pattern of healing in our lives, that it begins and ends and flows from this great sacrifice of the Eucharist.